I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
Hello, listeners. This is your morning host, Suzanne Whatley. And before we start this episode of the LA Report, we'd like to let you know that we want to hear from you, our listeners, about living through mega fires in California. Do you live with a disability and have needed to evacuate from a fire? Or have you had to shelter in your home as it burned around you? Our upcoming show, The Big Burn, could feature your experience. Call us at 313-444-BURN with your story or question. Again, the number 313-444-2876, or you can email us at thebigburn@lasta.com. Good morning. It's Friday, August 12th. I'm Suzanne Whatley, and you're listening to the LA Report from KPCC and LAist.com. Here's what's happening. Governor Newsom has released a plan for how the state will adapt to increasing water needs. California is set to lose 10% of its total water supply in the next 20 years. Scientists have found that's a direct result of the climate crisis. Carla Namath is the director of the California Department of Water Resources.
We have to create new water supplies through recycling and desalination. We have to permanently reduce demand in California. We need to invest in how we capture and store water through expanded storage underground and above ground. It's really all of these things are required to help secure California into the future.
Namath says partnerships with local agencies are essential. Southern California cities have already invested more than any place else in the state in water recycling projects. Former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is now California's infrastructure advisor. Governor Newsom has appointed him to lead as liaison between federal and local officials on infrastructure projects. His appointment comes as the state receives $120 million in federal funding for 8 transportation programs. It includes money for the High Speed Rail Authority, Port of Los Angeles, and the Inglewood Transit Connector Project. Despite some recent gains, Latinos remain underrepresented in state government. The UCLA Latino Policy and Politics Institute has released an analysis of California's Latino representation within Governor Newsom's cabinet, state boards, and commissions responsible for regulating the environment, education, and criminal justice system. The report indicates Latinos comprise less than 20% of executive appointments, despite making up nearly 40% of the state population. The study's co-author, Gabby Carmona, says leaders should become more intentional about diversity within their appointments.
Ultimately, the communities that are driving the population growth, keeping our economy afloat, deserve a say in how our government is being run. And these appointments play a really big role in that.
Carmona says common practices such as legacy appointments, where the same people are reappointed, and lengthy terms can restrict the number of positions available for diverse candidates. She and the study's other researchers are calling for the governor's office to track the demographics of its gubernatorial appointments to get a fuller picture of any progress being made. The man who shot and killed 2 El Monte police officers before killing himself was only contacted by probation staff 6 times during the 16 months of his supervision. KPCC's Emily Elena Dugdale tells you what she's learned since the confrontation back in June.
Justin Flores shot and killed the officers when they responded to a report of a stabbing at a motel. Flores was on probation at the time for illegally carrying a gun. Investigators with the County Inspector General's office found Flores was only contacted in person once by probation staff and repeatedly missed his monthly appointments. Assistant Inspector General Eric Bates spoke to the Probation Oversight Commission on Thursday.
As we looked more into it, we found more issues.
Chief Probation Officer Adolfo Gonzalez said his agency is updating its policies, but he also argued that minor violations shouldn't automatically be criminalized.
Now you violate everyone for not responding to a phone call, not showing up to a meeting. You're going to arrest them for that?
The Inspector General's office said its investigation isn't over. Covering criminal justice, I'm Emily Elena Dugdale.
Babies are born with a taste for sweetness to help them seek out the high-calorie foods they need to grow. But as they get older, sugar and artificial sweeteners turn out to be much more of a risk. A CDC study last year found that between 2001 and 2017, type 1 diabetes in people under the age of 20 rose by 45%, surging in the Latino and Black communities. USC pediatrics professor Dr. Michael Gorin joined Air Talk to talk about the risks. He says artificial sweeteners pose their own problems.
So the net effect is you get hungry quicker and you end up eating more. And studies have shown that individuals who use sweeteners end up actually consuming more calories throughout the day.
He says food companies know most kids are predisposed to enjoying sweet foods. And if you are choosing sugary treats for your youngsters, a better bet is to stick with natural sweeteners such as maple syrup and honey. You may recall our story about the family that KPCC's Jill Rep Logal hiked with earlier this year as they passed through Southern California. After hiking more than 1,200 miles with three children under the age of six, the Daly family's journey along the Pacific Crest Trail has been derailed.
It was the two-year-old who ruined everything, which is not surprising to any of us who have kids. Okay, I'm exaggerating. Little Standa didn't ruin everything, but he's gotten older and more active since the Dailies set off from the Mexican border in March. His mom, Marquetta, got a new carrier so she could hike with Standa on her front, but it didn't work out.
As much as I love him, I can't have him, like, looking at me the whole day because he's like, viciously clawing at me and, like, playing with my eyes.
Even before this, they had gotten off the trail in Northern California because of the heat and potential water contamination in the Dixie Fire burn zone. Now the family is in Portland, hoping to do as much as they can of the Pacific Crest Trail through Oregon. But at this point, Marquetta says they're content with how far they've come. I'm Jill Replogal.
Thank you for listening to the LA Report. I'm Suzanne Whatley, inviting you to read more news at LAist.com and listen live anytime at kpcc.org or on the KPCC app.
This program is made possible in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.